Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
And what I want to do is bring to you a special introduction. We're on a journey as a church. I'm on a journey as a pastor. And a great gift I feel like the Lord has dropped in my lap is to make connection with somebody who has been involved in renewing and revitalizing churches and helping them to take their vision and make it very clear and organize and energize around things that the Lord is putting in the heart of that congregation. And for such a time as this, especially a time of some transition in our church, this is all coming together and tells me that the Lord's hand is very deeply involved and personally involved in our lives with all the questions and all the movements that we have seen, that we have a sure future, and that the Lord is leading us into that. He loves His church, and He gave Himself for it. And we as a church have been studying cosmic Christianity and this great idea of the church. Somebody that I met a number of years ago in a church revitalization boot camp in the hills, or the mountains actually, of Colorado Springs. I had a chance to meet him again, ran across him in one of our meetings here in Texas, found out that he has moved here to Texas. And after we had him, and you might have remembered him right at the very end of our missions convention, that he had something to say in closing, and then we prayed and were dismissed on that great day in November when we committed to missions like we never had before. He and his wife, Chris, were in attendance there that morning, and later that week and 2 weeks after that, he and I conspired together for some breakfast and conversation to get to know one another all over again, or better. And as we sat there, we found that we could talk for 5 hours solid, both times, and felt like that the Lord was just putting us together. And it was more than just reacquainting myself with an acquaintance. I really felt like the Lord had a gift for me to place a brother in my life, and somebody with experience where I've never gained experience, wisdom where I'd never had experience to fail or succeed. And Brother Rex Bornman is going to be coming alongside. Along with his wife is going to be lending a hand as well. They're going to be itinerating and traveling, but they will also be very deeply connected with us here at Vision Church. And so you're going to be seeing a lot more of them, and they are going to be speaking into Tasha's life and my life. They're going to be helping us as a staff, and they're going to be intimately involved with us. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to share my heart with you, and rather than just having a guest minister appear and be a great time of ministry, that you'd be able to connect the dots so that we could sit here and realize, you know, the Lord has called our pastor and this guy together. They're brothers in the Lord. They're going to continue a great relationship. And the Lord really loves Vision Church because He's calling people and raising people up to connect with us in the vision that God has given us in our heart and helping us to bring it out where it can affect and change Lake Worth. And so with that, I just want you to put your hands together at Vision Church, and would you please welcome to this pulpit Reverend Rex Bornman. We're so glad to have Chris here this morning as well, and he'll have a chance to introduce her to you as he comes to minister this morning. Lord bless you, and we will see you next week.
Don't you love Pastor Doug? Come on, give it up for Pastor Doug and Tasha. And since I'm under instruction to do so, let me introduce my wife. This is my lovely bride of many, many years, 40 plus. She's only 25, so that's pretty good. Stand up and wave, Chris, if you would, and just so everybody sees. I typically do that for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that I want to encourage all the young single men in the crowd to believe if you have a face like this, you can still score. It's called the blessing of the Lord. So, speaking of the blessing of the Lord, Pastor Doug and Tasha, they're just to reconnect with them, to to see how the Lord is working. How many of you know God's plans are eternal, they are cosmic, they are huge, but they're also being made available. We get a chance to be led by the Spirit of God, to fellowship with God every day, to actually be in a living, vital, ongoing love relationship with the Lord, a learning relationship with the Lord. I was kind of quiet on that. A little half of the people kind of get that. Let me say that one more time. A learning relationship with the Lord. And I'll just let you know, we have more to learn than He does. I kind of, really, it's always been interesting to me that we have this concept, this understanding, this amazing privilege to pray, to talk with the God of the universe, to literally fellowship with the God of the universe. We can make, you know, daily and hourly and moment by moment kind of conversations and requests, dialogue with the God of all eternity. And we spend so much time talking. And so little. Listen, if you had an appointment, if somebody said, we're going to give you 10 minutes with the wisest, most powerful person in the world, do you think you ought to use 9 of them to talk? Or should you come to listen? Should you come to learn? Should you come? And really, that's the beauty. That's kind of, I think, where God wants us to be. And when we don't willingly go there, He kind of forces us to be there. I can see some of you are going, I don't like this guy already, Chet. You know, he's going to get personal with me. Well, I do, because I believe God loves us and cares for us. And I really think that His plan for the church that bears His name is powerful and huge and beautiful. And it's supposed to be not getting, you know, harder as the days go on, but getting better as the days go on. So that in the last days of this thing we call time, God has powerful plans to just pour out His Spirit everywhere and to amazingly show forth Himself in unique and wonderful and world-shaping ways. And we get to be a part of that. Seriously, now, I know, look around the room for just a minute and go, come on, really? Really? I mean, here's the truth. We get to be a part. Some of you go, I'm not that spiritual. That's okay. He is. I'm not that smart. That's okay. He is. I'm not that powerful. That's okay. He is. I'm not that wonderful. In fact, if it was about you, it wouldn't work. I agree. If it was about me, it wouldn't work. That's the reality of it. But here's the beauty. We get to come and become a part of who He is and how He is and where He is and why He is and what He is doing in the earth. That's what it means to be a part and partner in this body of Christ. Amen. And if that's not really a part of your current agenda, then I just want to encourage you that it should be. It should be. Now, I'm not trying to guilt you, because I want you to know it should be, and it could be. He's not looking for the sharpest tools in the shed. I love this brother. Did you hear him? He said, thank God. Thank God. Really? He's not. He doesn't need you to be amazing and cool and wonderful and talented and spiritual and powerful and even dedicated. And deeply devoted, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to His power working in us mightily. So I just want to awaken you to the idea that the great God, that the early church wasn't sharp, rich, politically powerful, laden with amazing people. Nah, they were actually pretty common. In fact, that was one of the things that shocked the religious world. When God would use them, when they would be confronted with this work of God through these ordinary folks, they scratched their heads, they scratched their hearts. He certainly said, what is that? How does this happen? Well, we can only imagine that they have been somehow connected to Christ. They've been with Jesus. And that's the reality. That's what he's called us to. Are you excited about that? I am too. And I think 2019, well, yeah, go ahead, give God. If we're going to do this, we ought to do it right. Come on, for the Lord. Woo! Yes, because that's just straight exciting. That's better than sports. Really, the Christian life is better than HBO. It's better than movies. It's better than comics. It's better than food. It's better than all of that stuff. To know God and walk in the middle of a world where God is actively involved. To hear the word of his majesty and to be able to speak with his authority. To heal the sick. To cleanse people from their sins and their darknesses. To preach the glory of God's present power to save and heal and deliver. This is the privilege of those who are called by his name. This is who we are. Nah, it's kind of more like whose we are. Seriously. That's the reality. It's not about who I am. It's about who I am is. Can I say that again for you so you get it? This crisis for identity. Ooh, I got to find out who I am. No, not so much. Because if you struggle to do that, you're going to find out you're a sinner, you're struggling, you got issues, you know, even on your best days, you're not great. Come on. We're already, 20-something days? 20? Is it 20? 21 days into 2019. Some of you made resolutions going in. And they've already hit the bottom floor. We're just not. We're not that. But here's the beauty. You don't have to be all of that. God doesn't love you because you're all of that. You don't qualify because you're all of that. You're not. You're flawed. You're faulted. You're raised. You're born in sin, the Bible says. You're shaped by iniquity. We all are. You know, we're influenced by all the junk and the darkness around us. But the God of heaven made us for an everlasting relationship with him. He made us for his pleasure. He made us just so that he might make himself known to us. And that we might experience the joy of being his forever. What gives me value is not who I am. It's who I am is. And that in him I have identity. I'm Irish. No. I'm German. No. I'm black. I'm white. I'm Asian. I'm no. I'm male. I'm female. I'm hetero. I'm not. Come on. We get so hung up in the I am stuff. And it's not so important. What we want to hear is to be able to say, it's not about who I am, it's about who I am is. And when I find out who I am is, then in him, I can find out who I am. And it sounds something like this. Beloved. Come on, say it with me. I am beloved. I am worth something. Ooh, try that again, because some of you are just, you're confused. I'll help you with this. I really will help you with this. And I'm going to hang around for enough to be annoying. Yeah, spiritually annoying. But it's we call it provoking one another to love and good works. Come on, we belong to him. We are his. It's not about who we are. It's about whose we are. His mercy, his love, his kindness. He sees us as faulted and flawed, but he comes and he makes himself known to us. So we are beloved. We are worth something. We tend to think of ourselves as worthless. And because we're confused with worthy and worth. And so we think of ourselves, something to give something to has to be worthy. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. In fact, worth itself is a market term. Let me straight clear this for you. None of you are worthy. Look around, tell the person next to you, hey, you're not worthy. You might have said that to them already this week in a different context. But here's the reality. You're not worthy. You're not. What you are worthy of is death. That's the wage of our sin. That's the thing that our foolishness leads us to. Confusion and death and darkness and struggle and how did the world get to be this way? Sin. Sin. Sin and darkness. And so we're not worthy, but that doesn't mean we're worthless. Worth is the market term. Come on, worth is the market term. How many of you bought gasoline for some vehicle this week? Come on, wave your hand around. How many of you paid more than $1.80 for that gallon of gasoline this week? Oh, what is it up here? $1.75. You paid more than that. Whatever. Some of you are really shoppers. Blessed Jesus, I'm going to shop to the $1.71 bunch. I'm going to drive 74 miles out of the way to get gas for 4 cents cheaper. Let me just share with you that economically that's not good. But anyway, that same gallon of gasoline back in 1950-something was worth about 23 cents. The gallon isn't bigger. It doesn't make the car go further. It's still a gallon. It's still gasoline. It's the same essence and substance. It's the same stuff. But today it's worth almost $2. When then it was worth 20-some cents. Why is that? Because worth is a market term. Worth is measured by what somebody is willing to pay for something. That's what it is. In fact, I promise you, if everybody in America today just said, okay, I'm dropping the keys, I'm turning off the lawnmowers, the power generators, everything that operates with gasoline, I'm stopping. I'm refusing. I'm boycotting gas. I'm just going to wait. I promise you, gasoline will go down, 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 down. And it'll keep plunging until somebody can't stand it any longer. Really, it'll only take one person at one place in America to go, that's enough. $1.05, I'm in. Boom. And they start buying it again. And they will establish the worth of a gallon of gasoline. Now, why do I say that? Because you're worth something to God. Not worthy, but you are worth the blood of His own Son, the sacrifice of Himself. We take this communion, and sometimes we fail to really measure the price that is paid and the reason that the price is paid, because the wage of our sin is death. But the loving God wills us to have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. You're unworthy, but you are worth everything to God. And I hope that makes you sit up a little bit straight. Seriously, I hope that makes you walk with a little more joy and blessing and freedom in your life. You don't have to fight God to get something. God is more willing to give to you stuff than you could imagine. His plan, His goodness, His heart toward us is huge. And so I just want to say thank you to Pastor Doug, Pastor Tasha, for allowing us to be a part of this. And see what the Lord will do. I love anybody who loves God. I love people who don't love God. Why? Because He does. In fact, I have permission from the Lord to hate everybody He hates. Some of you know, yes, sir, God, I'm going to hate everybody you hate. Where do I start? That's pretty much it. But I'm going to love everybody He loves. It's a beautiful thing. And so that's really what the Lord has done here. He's just provided us a partnership and an opportunity to move in the future. And I personally believe that 2019 can be a tremendously different year than every other year of our lives. I don't think anything about our past determines our future. I don't think we have to be doomed to repeat this or limited by, well, we've never done this or we've only ever that. Or, nah, nah. I think God is wanting to tear off the limitations that come with thinking about ourselves first and measuring by our own capacities or abilities or budgets. And we start believing God to be and do who He is and what He does with people just like us. Because that's who we are. We are chosen. We are anointed. Those go with beloved and worth something to God. We are the apple, I love this one, or the apple of his eye. That's a phrase that probably needs a little parsing at some point. It's the gleam, it's the something, it's the spark. I hope somebody, somewhere in life, looks at you and goes, and there's just, you can see it, can't you? There's just that little spark that goes, ooh. And you go, ooh, mm-hmm, that's for me. Yeah, you know what you are? You are the apple of their eye. You create a spark in their eye. When the Lord ever tells you, I want to talk to you about how I feel and think and want to do with you and deal with you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let his perfect love drive out any fear, because you are the apple of his eye. Come on. Nudge somebody nearby and go, huh? Come on. Come on. Now, if you're wanting to do that for the Lord again, let's do this right. Come on, one more time. So, I've got to hurry on. I have something the Lord dropped in my heart to share with you today. But I want to congratulate this church body. I want to congratulate pastors Doug and Tasha and all the staff, and whether they are coming, going, or however this is. The Lord is working. The Lord is up to something. The Lord is moving. And we are wanting to move with the Lord. 2019 is off to a terrific start, I think. You have been focused on a series of messages under this theme, every tribe and every nation, from the very beginning of the year, this focus. And I've listened to the messages, I've heard them, and I'm just wanting to shout amen to everything that is said. We are supposed to be completely submitted to the commission that God has given to us. He's called us to be a part of something and a partner in something that is absolutely world-changing for the glory of the Lord. He's done that for us. And that's the family business. That's it. That's what he's been about. That's what Jesus was about. That's what you and I are supposed to be. In fact, Jesus said, the same way the Father sent the Son into the world, I'm going to send you guys. The same glory that the Father gave the Son, I'm going to give to you. So that we can actually live and move with him and within him every day of our lives. Yeah, it is. It's way nice. It's way exciting to be able to be that. That's the family business. And that's the one job. That's the last week's message. You have one job. I kind of like the way it's presented too. Don't you almost want to go, duh? Yeah, seriously, what's our response sometimes? Because there's sometimes that God's, I think, response to us is he looks at our fuming, fussing, you know, frenetic activity, and he goes, really? Duh. Seriously, which of you by taking thought is going to add a cubit to your stature? Which of you by hustling and bustling is going to change somebody's life? You're not, but God is well able. Amen. This is the one job. And so today I want to take you one step further with that, or maybe bring it to some sort of an idea of what it starts to look like when you actually do it. But I want to congratulate you on another thing as well. You are finishing up today 21 days of dedication, of prayer and fasting, of seeking after the face of the Lord. And I just want to congratulate you, because the first set of sermons and messages that you're wrestling with speak to purpose. But a people who will dump their devotion to food in favor of seeking after the Lord, that speaks to your passion. That helps to ignite your passion. And I want you to know, we're both people of purpose and passion. We don't do what we have to do. Oh, God's a tough taskmaster. It's such a difficult thing to walk in the Spirit of God. Oh, I'm serving the Lord. You used to hear testimonies like that. Pray for me that I'll endure. And you just want to go, you know, God, help me under the circumstances. I just want to reach down to people like that and go, what are you doing under there? Really, who told you to be under there? We're supposed to live these overcoming lives. And it's a glorious joy to be living out of the purposes of God. to be the people of God. It's an incredible privilege and joy-filled experience. And passion is alive and well inside of the people of God. Remember when I first met Christians way back in the day, dinosaurs were kind of roaming the earth at that time. And I was I won't tell you the whole story. But I was lost. I was a heathen. I had never met a Christian. And I met these Jesus people in the northeastern part of the United States in a Dairy Queen parking lot. And they were just full of life and joy and smiles everywhere and just this energy that I know now is the energy in the presence of the Lord. I just thought they were hungry, you know, into sweets. And by the way, thank God that praying people get the munchies, just like drug people do. I was there for the drug people part. But they were there because they loved the Lord and they loved chocolate and ice cream and good sweet stuff. And then they shared the love of Jesus Christ with us. And you know what? The first time that I ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ was I overheard it. I listened to them sharing with another friend of mine. But I watched the faces of the people. I was so captured by the zeal and the joy and the passion and the divine energy and this excitement that was going on in them that I thought, you know what? If that were true, if God is really alive and well and working in the earth and these are his children, then they ought to act like that. They certainly ought not to look like the old New Country Cornflakes commercials. Some of you are old enough to remember those. If you don't, just picture a Norman Rockwell painting of an old couple with a hoe. And these people sang, New Country Cornflakes, New Country Cornflakes. Never made me want to eat them. Really. I really believe that part of the beauty of the Lord is the joy. The kingdom is righteousness. The gift. The gift that comes from God. The peace that it produces. And the joy that it produces in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. See, it's actually set up to work this way, where people who don't have it start asking, where you got that? We've turned it around where we have to twist people's words and try to convince them to do this thing and find this their way into church and all this other stuff. No. We're supposed to live and move and be empowered by God with such passion and such purpose that people begin to go, what is that? Where did you get that? How could you possibly be that? Amen. And the darker the world gets, the brighter the church should shine. This is the beauty. So today, I promise you, it's getting time. I have to finish this and get you to a place of understanding something. Today I want to talk to you, if you don't mind, about how this actually looks. When we live in the purpose of God, when we live with the passion of God, which is what we're wanting to do, when we're people of the mission of God, when the missions of our life are the mission of the Lord, where we're actually carrying it out, we're living and moving for the glory of the Lord in our lives, then we have to start to say to ourselves, well, what does that actually look like? What does it feel like when we do this? What does that look and feel like? So if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 10 real quickly. I just want to read a story to you and take you to it. Luke chapter 10, I think they have it on the screens here. And I'm just going to start to read to you. This is from the New American Standard Bible. I just want to read this to you, if you don't mind. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them in pairs ahead of him to every place, every city and place, where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, just stop for a second and say it with me. The harvest is, say it again, the harvest is, there's no end of the need that exists around us. There are more people who live in darkness than who live in the light. By a bunch. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so now, here's what he's saying. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Now, by the way, just I got to stop there for a second. There's an exciting invitation. You know, how many of you believe he actually said this? How many believe that was a picture for an agricultural group? For people who understood sheep and wolves. I'm going to send you out like tiny little baby sheep. Lambs. And you know what wolves say when they hear bleh? Lunch. Prey. Yeah, so here's this amazing thing. Pray, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. I'm going to send you out, so go. And you're going to go like lambs in the middle of wolves. We're going, what? Siri, what? And he goes on. Then he says, don't carry a money belt. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the stuff that you have to carry. No shoes. Don't greet anybody on the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, then your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. So stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, I love this passage. Eat what is set before you and heal those in it who are sick. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. Can I stop for just a second again, just because? How many of you have to sit around and go, ooh, when somebody puts a meal in front of you, well, I got to pray if it's the will of the Lord. I probably need a sign here to be able to eat the corn. We don't obsess over eating what's put in front of us. The same context for healing the sick. The same ease of spirit. I just want you to know, I really believe that God still heals the sick. And I really believe that that's really a part of how God wants to show forth himself and his power in the earth in our times. And I don't think it's that hard. I don't think it's any harder than eating what's put in front of you. If we could just learn. Anyway, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Whatever city you enter into and they don't receive you, then go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it'll be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. That was sort of the area where Jesus did much of his ministry. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Again, this area right around Capernaum where his headquarters was. For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, his hometown for ministry, will not be exalted to the heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens, now hear this, get this. The one who listens to you, listens to me. The one who rejects you, rejects me. And the one who rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. And so the 70, apparently they did it. And they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Can you imagine this? They went out thinking, lambs among wolves, woo, what are we going to do? And then God started to heal the sick and deliver people from demonization and put forth his glory into places. And these guys came running back going, this works! Woo! I'm ready to start a tape ministry. Well, that's how old I am. Well, we're gonna produce, you know, videos. We're gonna produce a whole series of this and that. Write books, e-books, blah blah. No. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from lightning in heaven, fall like heaven from lightning." Basically, what he's saying is, you guys just understand that he's defeated. I defeated him. You get this? I know he's beaten, but welcome to the party. Thanks for playing along. Glad you caught up. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. And then he goes on. I love this part. At that very time, this is about the only place in Scripture, by the way, that it says Jesus rejoiced. Well, we know he was full of joy. It's part of the kingdom. Kids would run to him. They don't run to people who are weird. They just don't. They kind of, you kind of have to tie up, you know, some you know, incentive to get them to play with the weirdos. Okay. At that very time, Jesus rejoiced greatly. By the way, the word for rejoice here is agaleo. It means literally he danced around. He jumped up and down, danced around, did a little jig on the hillside. He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit, saying, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to the infants. These successful ministers of mine, who are they? They are the lambs among wolves. They're still the babes in arms. They're still the infants. But here's the beauty. You choose to reveal yourself to and through infants like these. Humble, needy people who have no capacity in themselves. But those who think they are, and they're all of that, and a bag of chips, you sort of reject that crew. That's what he says. He says, Father, I thank you that you do this, and it causes me great joy. You've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants, because this is what pleases you. It's well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then turning to the disciples, and this is powerful. You got to get this, and then I'll close it out here with just these three truths. Turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Because I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you are seeing, and they did not see them. They wished to hear the things which you hear, and they did not hear them. I just want you to catch that word of privilege. Do you know? This is what he's kind of what he's saying. I know it, and I'm dancing around about it, and I see the Father doing it. It just delights my soul. But do you know whose you are? Do you know the category in which this puts you? The privilege of hearing from God things that the prophets and the kings and the wealthy of the world would have wanted to know, but it was hidden from them. And instead, it's being revealed to you, you little lambs, you little babes, you beloved, chosen, worth God's people in the earth. Let me give you three truths about this story. Number one, mark this down. If you're a writer of notes, you want to write this down. Going is more important than knowing. Say it with me. Going is more important than knowing. We place a huge premium on knowing. I got to know everything. I got to figure it all out. It's got to all make sense to me. Listen, there are so many times when God says stuff like this. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Lord has put in his own power. Who died and made you boss? Really, why do you need a guarantee to go for these things? Come on. You know what the sin of the garden was, right? You get to know everything. Stuff that only God can handle. You get to want to know that. And we've been on a quest to want to know everything forever. And here's what he's trying to say. Going is more important than knowing. If you want to be a person of faith, remember that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. I want a guarantee of the results. Nope, you don't get a guarantee of the results. I want a guarantee of the promises. Well, that you do get. I want a guarantee of the partnership. That you do get. I want a guarantee that God and I will walk together. And in the middle of what I would call failure or success, he will be with me. Amen. You get a guarantee of that. But you don't get to know everything about everything. And if you make knowing your kind of caveat for going, then you'll never go. I want to be sure of what the results are here. No. He said, go. Get up and go. I'm going to send you out like lambs among wolves. Don't be afraid of that. Just go. Go. Don't worry about the stuff. Don't worry about what you have. Don't worry about your resources. Don't worry about all your. I will be with you. How do you go forth as lambs among wolves? You go under the shepherd's care. If it was just me, I'd be lunch. But it is just not me. I am here in Jesus' name. Amen. The enemy, well, you're not so much. That's right. That's true. But he is. And he who is with me and in me. And he has sent me. Going is more important than knowing. Mark it down. Say it with me again. Going is more important than knowing. Number two. Now this is how this every tribe, every nation, this job, this mission, this living in the Spirit of God looks and feels and works. Number two. Results are immediately and directly tied to reception. Results are tied to reception. Say it with me. Results are tied to reception. Maybe I should give you a better version of that. Receptivity. He said, wherever you go, you're going to find some doors that are closed to you. Don't obsess over it. Don't worry about it. Just keep knocking. Keep looking. Because somewhere, someone's going to open a door. Someone's going to receive you. And when they do, that's where you stay. That's where you minister. That's where you eat what's put in front of you and heal the sick that are in and tell them the kingdom of God has come to you. Yes, amen. Why? Because God has opened the door. Why am I here? Because God has opened the door. That's the view. Why are you here? I hope it's because God has opened the door. We're opening our door to the work of the Lord and saying, okay, see, results are tied to receptivity. Where receptivity is, then God's going to sweep in and do these things. And where people refuse, he's still going to do some stuff. But it's the intolerable, awful, judgmental stuff. How many of you know, if you believe and receive by faith this gracious gift of God, wrath is passed off of you. But if you refuse to believe, the wrath of God abides on you. You've got to get that. That's the truth. When God saves people, he saves them from himself. You need to get this. This is the truth. Oh, God's just okay with everybody. No, he's not. No, hell is real. Judgment is real. And the world is racing headlong toward judgment. But we have a gift. We have a grace. We have a mission. We have a purpose from God to go and preach and teach and like lambs among wolves to share this grace of Christ. And somebody somewhere is going to go, come on in. Come on in. And where receptivity is given, results will follow. As many, here's what it says in John 1, as many as received him, to them, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Isn't that exciting? I want to qualify. Wrong answer. I want to pay. I want to deserve. Really? What do I got to do? Receive. Believe. Open up. Yield. Results are tied to receiving. But don't glory in results. This is my third point, too, and I just want to let you know. We tend, because that's who we are. We love fantastic. We love huge. We love better than. We love cooler than, more powerful, awesome. No, nobody sells the cheapest car. It barely makes it. We have a whole series of commercials right now that, okay. You do brakes? Yeah, we're okay. Do you babysit? Yeah, we're okay. It's okay. Okay isn't good. So we love bigger, better, cooler, powerful, wonderful, ooh. We love results. We love to achieve. We love to show forth our achievements. We like to live in and wear our money. We love to drive our success. You're just being quiet. I know I'm over time. That's probably why y'all are going, I'm hungry. But we hunger after the things of God. And these results, we get so captured by them. And they did too. Don't be nervous about that. God is okay with that. He'll just help you to figure out that we're not supposed to rejoice as much in the results as we do the relationship. Amen. This doesn't say don't have results. It says, oh, have results. They already had results. They were coming back saying, this really works. God does heal the sick. God does save the lost. God does do these things. He's powerful and wonderful and amazing. And he was right there with me. I said, get up out of that chair. And boop, God healed them and they got up out of that wheelchair. Whoa, it was cool. I'm all of that in a bag of chips. And the Lord goes, yeah, no, you're not. Yeah, seriously, you're not. You're rejoicing in the results. And the results are just the proof that I win. My way's right. I'm God. And so if that helps you to know that, amen, I am, I do, I have, and I will. But here's the truth. You should be rejoicing that you belong to me, that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In whose Book of Life? The Lamb's. Come on. I'm sending you forth as lambs among wolves. And that sounds powerless to us, except when we start to hear what he just said, the Lamb of God, who prevails against all the enemies of death and hell and the grave, of sin and Satan and selfishness forever. The Lamb who is the Lion. What does that mean? That means they don't see him coming. Seriously, they see you walking in the door and they go, well, they're not much. They're no threat to our sinfulness. Yes, we are. Amen. Why? Because we live and we move and we have our being in the powerful name and for the glory of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And so we have results, but the results are not the reason we rejoice. We rejoice in the relationship. Why rejoice in the relationship? Because God does. I just got to quit with this, but I want to tell you this. I want to move and live in the power of the Spirit of God more in my future than I ever have in my history. That's big stuff because I've seen God do some amazing things all around the world. I believe that he's not decreasing in these last days. He is increasing in these last days. And so I believe that God wants to do that. I do. I think that God wants to tear the cover off for some of us and begin to show forth his power in amazing ways in us. I believe that. But he doesn't want us to get sideways about it. He doesn't want us to get so full of ourselves that we're rejoicing in the wrong things. We don't rejoice in the results. We rejoice in the relationship. Why? Because I am beloved of God. And get this. When there are no nations to save, when there is no darkness to drive out, when there are no demons to dislodge from people's lives, when there are no dead to raise, when all of the glory of God's eternal state has been ushered in, we will still live and move in a relationship with His Majesty Himself. I don't want to be known for my ministry. Amen. I don't want to be known for my gift. I want to be known as His. He went shopping and he came home with you. Come on, somebody look at your neighbor and tell him that. He went shopping and came home with you. And that's a big sentence for you. He went shopping and he came. And some of you are going, I got to take a second look. God went shopping and came home with you? Really? Duh. Amen. Amen. This is what gives us worth, that he loves us with an everlasting love. How many of you believe this? Amen. These early believers, this is the glory. This is the beauty. This is what he's already done, and this is what he is still willing to do. He said that this is the gospel that will be preached until Jesus comes. This is the methodology by which he's going to do it. This every tribe, every nation, family business, this great commission to which we submit ourselves, this job one, this thing that we do by moving in the name of the Lord, going, not needing to know, but we're committed to going. Amen. Come on, how many of you would, with an upraised hand, with every head up and every eye wide open, say, I'm okay, I'm good, help me go. Seriously, I'm a little bit frightened of that lamb among the wolves part. But come on, heads up, eyes wide open, I want to see your hands, because if you're not, I'm going to come after you, you know I am. Why? Because this is the best thing for you. Now here's the truth. Just go till you're received someplace. Keep knocking on doors, keep sharing, keep loving. And don't obsess over the closed doors. Don't panic and worry where there's not an opening. God will provide receptivity. And where God provides a receptive ear, an open heart, body, stay there, eat there, heal the sick there. There's where God is going to show up and show off. Does it do better for you if I say show forth his glory? Amen. And when he does, and the temptation for you is to go, I should write a book. I should market my successes. I should write my own bio. The man of God, the woman of God, the lady of faith. Now I want God to just put his hands on your face and go, duh. Really? Really? Come on. And you realize that it's not because I was there. It's because you were there. And you know what? The reason you were there is because you're here. Come on. In me. The same glory that the Father has given to me, I'm giving to you. And what is that glory? Here's what it says in John 17. That you might be in me. And I would be in you, just like I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, that we would all be in one another. This is it. You're going to be people of purpose. You're going to be people of passion. But you're going to be people of presence. You're going to be my body in the earth. How many of you want to be a part of that? Stand up real quick. Just jump up. Jump up. Oh, man, I'm so late. I bet, but here's the clue. You can still beat the Baptist of the buffet. Reach out and touch somebody by the hand. Touch them. Put hands, if they work, if somebody grabs your hand and you're going to spend the next 2 minutes thinking more about your hand than anything else, then shake it off. Okay, seriously. But those of you who experience the shake off, don't be daunted. Just put your hand on their shoulder. Seriously, just everybody touch somebody. Here's why I want you to do this. Because the Bible talks about confession. How many of you believe and would confess to the person on the right and left of you that God has probably called you to be one of these lambs in the middle of the wolves? And that going is a frightening, daunting prospect. And that knowing typically feels good for you, but you're willing to say, you know what, I'm more interested in learning as I go on the job. I want to be God's person. I want to go. I want to be his. Let him know. Would you wobble that? Come on, wobble him. Let him know. That's me. Yeah, okay. Now, I want results. Here, confess this too. I look at the way we live today. I look at the church in the world, in the United States of America, in Lake Worth today. I look at us today. And I don't see everything that I think God wants to see. And I can't, I'm not here to pick on anybody else, but I got to steward my life. And I'm wanting to say, you know what, it's same old isn't okay. I really do want more. I want more of the purpose and the passion and the presence of God in my life. Would you wobble up a storm on that one too? Let them know. Yeah, that's me. Okay, now that this is confessing our sins, by the way. It is. This is the idea that we, hey, you know what? We need God. Yeah, wobble them one more time. I do. I really do. I need God. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look on the right and the left. You've felt all this wobbling, all this confession, all these brothers and sisters going, I. I'm a little bit scared, that lambing among wolves thing. And I have no clue what it'll all look like, all the results will look like. But I want my relationship with God to be better and stronger and deeper and more powerful and more purposeful and more passionate in the future than it ever has been in my history, in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's who we are. That's what we're saying. And now, here's what I want you to do. If you believe that God has a plan to, in fact, help that person on your right or left, I want you to wobble them back. Amen. Doesn't it feel good? Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says if we agree as touching anything that we ask, it'll be done of our Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, you are. I am is in the midst of us. So it's not just me. It's not just this brother and sister. It's you. It's you, glorious God. Fill, quicken, enliven, strengthen, wash and cleanse, renew, and fire up the soul and the spirit of each of these dear ones. Release them from every bondage and habit of darkness. Release them from every shame and sin of their histories. In the powerful name of Jesus, every lie that is told against them, we declare to be ineffective in Jesus' name. You are the truth that sets us free. These are the beloved, chosen, washed and forgiven, anointed people of God. And we bless them and we prophesy over them a future that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. A relationship that will grow and deepen and strengthen greater joy, greater peace, greater blessing, greater senses of the glory of the Lord over their lives than ever before. We say yes to it and amen in the name of Jesus. We also prophesy greater results in their ministries. If each one would be able in the name of Jesus to just live and move in their circles of friends in more powerful and effective ways, we believe that it's your will to touch and reach and save the lost in Lake Worth, Texas. We believe it's your will to set the captives in Lake Worth, Texas, free from their darkness and their bondages. We believe in the name of Jesus that we're not everything you're doing, but we want to be everything we can be in what you're doing. So help us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for sticking with me for extra time today. I love you. Have a great week.